because I am not alone. He is my comfort, and he'll never leave me alone. We're going to dismiss the children. Amen. To your left side, my right. Amen. And we're going to be prepared to receive with meekness the engrafted word. We're going to greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord. We can do a little better than that. Can we greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord? Let's say, preach the word.
Preach the word.
Amen.
Amen. We do bless the Lord for being here today. Amen. And I'm going to really have a testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not alone.
Yes, yes.
He always holds me close.
Yes, yes, yes.
We ought to be excited about
yes,
that.
Yes.
Amen. The old saying is, I'm glad God took our hands. Because if God takes your hand, he'll never let go.
Amen.
But if you take God's hand, things get bad, sometimes you will let go. So aren't you glad God took your hand?
Amen.
Amen. We do bless the Lord. We say happy Father's Day to all your fathers. Thank you, Sister Dorian, for your card. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. Continue to pray for you. God continue to bless you. We thank God for all of you that are here today. Amen. The young people leave before they leave. I got two people got baptized. I got their bike. I swear. Zoe. It wasn't Laura. There's no way to be. When people get baptized, we give them the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. When you get saved, the first thing you need to do is get God's word in you.
Amen.
Thank you for what you did. I said, I'm praying for you. She said, that means a lot. Say, because when you're fighting an addiction, you need God's help. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let us stand at this time for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the book of John, the 4th chapter. We're going to ask you to keep us in prayer as we embark on this dangerous highway, Lord willing, and go to Georgia for the Georgia State Council. They'll be celebrating the 75th anniversary of being a part of the PAW. Amen. So that's going to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we ask you for your prayers. And guess what? We'll leave, but the church is still here.
Amen.
Wednesday night service? Can we say still here?
Still here.
Sunday? Next Sunday service?
Still here.
Still here. Amen. So when we leave, that don't mean you have to stay home. Amen. What we're going to know today, hopefully will help reinforce that, all right? So we're going to read verses 20 through 24 of this book of the book of John. Amen. We know this is when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. But I'm not going to try to go through all the history of everything. And after we go over this, we're going to use two scriptural comparisons to show you how in hard times you are to still worship.
Amen.
Even in difficult times, you are to still worship.
Yes.
Even when you have loss, you are to still worship.
Yes.
Amen. Well, while we worship, we're not worshiping because of the condition. But we're worshiping God because of who He is.
Yes.
Worship is all about God.
Yes.
Even though we've been told worship is different, worship is all about God. Amen.
Yes.
So verse 20 reads, our fathers worship. Because the thing we're dealing with today is what? Father's Day.
Amen.
And this Samaritan woman remembers what her father did. Worship.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Parents, it's important that our children see us worship.
Yes.
Even in difficulties, can we still worship?
Amen.
So she said, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And he said, and in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So they're defining or confining worship to a specific great geographical location. But Jesus responds to that, and he says, Jesus says unto the woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship. Your worship is not dependent upon a geographical location. Hallelujah. Ye worship, ye know not what. He said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now it is with the
Lord.
Oh, you may have any true worshipers in the house.
Yes.
You don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship. You don't even have to come to church to worship. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in
spirit
and in truth, for the Father seeketh. God is saying God is looking for worshipers. God don't want no show me, show up worshipers. Amen. A lot of people worship today is about displaying self. But worship is not about displaying self. Worship is about honoring God, showing reverence to God. He said the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him worship Him in
spirit and in truth.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for being in the house of the Lord. Lord, we thank You for all the fathers on this Father's Day. Lord, we thank You for being a keeper, provider, and a way maker. Oh God, we ask You to speak to our hearts this morning. Oh God, speak to our spirits this morning. Lord, touch someone who came in trouble that they may leave with peace of mind. Lord, we ask You in the name of Jesus to touch some wayward spirit, Lord, that they may make an open confession of faith to make Jesus their choice. And Lord, we ask You to speak to us with our word. And for this, we thank You in the church in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. So once again, I just thought it was fitting. It said, our fathers worship. Parents, learn to worship in front of your children. Amen. You can worship. You might want to leave Bozo out, but you can still worship. Right? You don't want your children, when they get ready to worship, saying Bozo, but you want them to say hallelujah. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So worship is an integral part of being in church. So the scripture says in the 23rd verse, but the hour cometh, and now is. How many know the hour is right now?
Amen.
You don't have to wait till next week or next year to worship God. Every moment you breathe and live, you are to worship God. Why? You didn't have to be here today, but God.
Amen.
You right. You might not have all that you want, but God. When the true worshipers, do we have any true worshipers in the house? Come on, do we have any true worshipers? True worshipers that worship the Father in? Why? God is seeking such to worship Him. The Bible says in the book of Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord are to and fro throughout the what?
Word.
To show Himself strong and in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him. So our message today is true worship is willingly giving God your best.
Amen.
True worship is willingly giving God your best. Now I want to just discuss a few things about true worship. Then we're going to go to two individuals that were in the valley of despair. Two individuals that suffered hardship. Two individuals that were in what we may say one of those situations where they, under normal circumstances, would be broken. But how many know they still worship? Amen. Even in grief, they worship. Even in making a sacrifice, they worship. So what is true worship? What is worship all about? True worship is willingly giving God your best with the right attitude. True worship. Why, God is seeking such to worship Him. I think worship today has become mechanical. Because in order for you to have true worship is also obedience and willing submission to God to be obedient to His word. True worship is obedience and willingly submitting to God to be obedient to His word. So there's a whole lot of people that come, they said, our worship service started at such and such a time. Your worship service can't start unless you're obedient to God. You can't worship God in disobedience. Oh, worship is willingly submitting to God with an obedient spirit. That's what true worship is. Amen. True worship is an attitude that says, Lord, even though my situation may not be pleasant or favorable, it could be that much worse. So I thank you. True worship says, God, I know you are sovereign. And because God is sovereign, the Bible says He ruleth in the kingdom of men. In other words, God is in charge. Whatever any of us face, God permitted it to happen. So we should still worship. Let me say hallelujah. But why are you going to worship? Because God allowed it to happen, and I'm willingly submitting to Him in obedience. The scripture says, let everything that has breath do what?
Praise.
In other words, as long as you live, you ought to have a praise on your lips. You ought to have a thank you in your heart, because it could be that much worse. So true worship is honoring God and obeying Him and giving Him your best. True worship is honoring God, obeying Him, and giving Him your best. James, the book of James, the first chapter says that every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights, for whom there is no variableness, neither shadow turning. In other words, God is consistent. So whatever you have, you know, if you can sing like the praise team, that's your gift. Then when it's time for you to sing, you should give God your best. We should never shortchange God. If God has blessed you to be and play an instrument, when you're doing that unto God, you should give Him your best. Why? Because that is a gift that God gave you. There are a lot of people that think that they've accomplished or achieved their gifts on their own. Well, James says every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above. You know, some of us have some skills. If you don't have some skills, amen, that you're quite adroit at, you do a great job at it, and you say, well, look, it took me years to accomplish by yourself.
All right.
You have that because it's a gift from God. So he said, every good gift coming now from above. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus in the book of John, the 3rd chapter, he said, you must be born again. Well, this again is a really poor translation. It really should be born from above. Well, why would I be born from above? Because our desire is to have the likeness and image of God. So our gifts that we have, we're giving back to God for what he's given to us. We're blessing God for what he's given to us. So when you want to worship God, you have to use whatever your gift is. If you can't sing, hallelujah. If you can't wave your hand, I know we were in the hospital with Brother Justice. He couldn't open his mouth. He couldn't move his hand. All he could do is, they call it the pompous. He could just move his head. That was his worship. But he was giving God all that he had because he didn't have anything else. So your worship should be based on giving God your best. Can the church say hallelujah? I come to church and I sing, that worship. But a lot of us say, well, I'm faithful in doing my work in church. That's worship. That is not worship. The reason you do those things is because you worship. But paying your tithes and singing is not worship. That's not giving back to God for what he's given to you. But because of you worship, you give God your best. Hallelujah. You don't cheat God. You don't shortchange God. You willingly give God, can we say your best?
Yes.
That's what worship is. So when I'm on my job, let me use this as an example. If I'm on my job, I'm not going to shortchange the job because God blessed me with this job.
Right.
Until he blessed me with a better job. There are a lot of people trying to get a better job, but they're not giving that job their best.
Right?
So because I'm on my job, I'm not going to shortchange them and cheat what I'm doing, because I'm still saved, and because I worship, even on my job, I'm going to give God my best. Why? I'm giving back to God for what he's blessed me with. So I worship God with my best. Can we say hallelujah? So you paying your tithes and offering doesn't make you a worshiper, but because you worship, you pay your tithes and offering. You singing songs of praise and lifting your hands does not make you a worshiper, but because and lift your hand and sing praises unto God. Well, why are you doing that? I'm humbly giving back to God what he's given to me. I'm humbly telling God, thank you, because my situation could be worse than it is. So I humbly give back to God. Amen. So once again, worship is humbly, submissively giving. Humbly, submissively giving. Amen. I want to go to now. We're going to make a couple of comparisons today. Because a lot of people have mixed up worship. They come to church and leave church and we have a good worship. You can't worship God if you come to church and your mind is not where you are. That's not worship. Worship is willingly submitting to God. You know what? And that's just one to know in plain English what worship is. Lord, whatever happens in my life, you permit it to happen. So I praise you for it. I thank God for whatever happens in my life. Amen. Is it favorable? No. Is it pleasant? No. But I'm going to still give God my best worship. And I think we as a people of God, we need to make a total assessment. Are we giving God our best? Not according to your standards. Amen. Because according to the church's standard today, everybody's a worshiper. Amen. According to the church today, even the devil is a worshiper. Because he'll come to church and sing, but he cannot worship God. Because he doesn't have a relationship with God. So even all, you know, everybody is a singer today, all of these famous singers talking about how they worship and then enter into his presence. If you don't have a relationship with God, how are you going to bring me into God's presence? Amen. So that is not worship. Can we say praise the Lord? Let us turn to the book of Job. Amen. I'm going to skip through about maybe 5 or 6 verses here in Job. We're going to define what worship is. Somebody said, if you knew everything I was going through, that's when you need to worship God the most. If you knew the trouble I've seen, if you knew the losses I've had, you ought to worship God the work the best. And why? Because even though you lost, God left you a portion. God left you something. Can we say praise the Lord? So Job, the first chapter, we'll read verses 1 and 2, then verses 4 and 5, and skip down to read verses 18 through 21. Amen? Then there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. In other words, he lived to the best of his ability before God. He didn't shortchange God. He gave God his best. One that feared God and eschewed or hated evil. And there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Let's get down to verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and he's still giving God his best. Our fathers worship. Our fathers set an example. So what is Job doing? He is setting an example of worship for his children. Amen. Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Thus did Job continue. So Job covered his children with worship. He covered his children with prayer. Now let's get down to verse 18. And we know he had one bad message after another concerning his losses. Verse 18 said, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped a long to tell thee. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down on the ground, upon the ground, and
worship.
Wait a minute, Job, you just lost everything. You just had 10 children that died, 7 sons and 3 daughters, and you are worshiping? Yes, because I'm giving God my best. I'm giving God not based on my circumstances or condition, but I'm giving God my best because of who God is.
Yes.
And I'm giving God my best because I don't question God. I don't challenge God's sovereignty in my life. I don't question and ask God, why did you do it? But God, you permitted it to happen, so I'm going to give you my best. So was his worship singing? No. Was his worship raising his hand? No. But the scripture said this is how Job worshiped in verse 21. And he said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away, but he went there and what? Even in my hardship, I bless him. Even though I lost everything, I bless him. This is my worship. I give it back to God. Job learned through it all. Shall we receive good? a true worshiper. Can we say hallelujah? Now I want to go to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Y'all still stand with me? Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to read verses 4 and 5. Now we're all familiar with this account. This is when God tells Job, approve Job, attest Job, and he tells Job, go and sacrifice your son Isaac on a certain place that I will tell the other. Can we say hallelujah? So we know that Abraham goes as God has said. And then verse 4 says, as they're going, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the man will go yonder and worship. Well, how are you going to worship when you're about to sacrifice your son? Because I'm giving back to God the best of what he gave to me. I'm giving back to God because God gave it to me. And because God gave it to me, I still can worship. Can we say worship?
Worship.
Or can we say worship?
Worship.
So Abraham, you're about to lose your son. He said, but I'm still going to worship. Well, why are you worshiping? Because God asked me to do it. God told me to sacrifice my son. So I'm walking in obedience. I am submitting to God. So because I'm submitting to God, I can worship. But if God asks you to make a sacrifice, if God asks you to do something and you refuse to do it, then you are not a worshiper. Because that is not submission to God. So yes, the world, my world is falling apart, but I still got to pray. My world is falling apart, and I'm about to lose everything, but I still got hope. My world is falling apart, and I don't even see where my next help is coming from, but I still got joy. Now, when we submit to God, in the book of Romans, the Bible asks, Of who is called God? We, unfortunately, today, even in church, people have redefined what true worship is. If you want to know what true worship is giving God your best. Not shortchanging God. Not faking it. You know, a lot of people come to church and worship and they fake it. Just because you dance and shout, that don't make you a worshiper. Amen. Just because you believe in God does not make you a worshiper. How do you know? The Bible said the devils believe and tremble. But they cannot worship God. Worship starts with obedience. The greatest challenge to mankind today is obeying God. Why? Because there are so many other voices that speak to us to make us walk in disobedience. So Micah, the 6th chapter, I'm going to read the verse, then I'm going to go through and highlight parts of this verse for you. Amen? Now, if just give you a little history of Micah. Micah was right around the time of Isaiah. And we know they were trying to get the people of God to come back to God because they had distanced themselves from God. At this time, Micah's dealing not only with Judah, but also with Israel. He's dealing with them in Samaria, as well as those in Jerusalem. And leading up to this, the scripture says, and God says, I have a controversy with my people. I have some issues with my people. And he presents a courtroom setting. And in the courtroom setting, God says, now if I have let you down, I want you to testify against me. If I have failed you at any point, God said, testify against me. I'm giving you space now. He said, you testify against me. He said, what in other words, what have I done the reason that you have stayed away from church? He said, what have I done the reason that you're going away from following God and obeying God? He said, what have I done? Amen. So he's reasoning with them to try to get them to come back to God. I'm afraid there are a lot of people that have left God, not in body, but in heart. There are a lot of people that are no longer with God, not in body, but in spirit. Amen. They come to church, they act like they're with God, but they have departed from God. So Micah says this, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So he has shown thee what God doth require of thee. Now, if you look at that, it seems kind of passive. But let's break down what Micah's actually said. Because in the courtroom setting, God said, I want you to testify against me. Amen. He said, I'm giving you space at this time. Bring your complaint against me. Because I'm the God of all the earth. And I heard Abraham say in Genesis 18 chapter, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? But then they're in a courtroom setting, and they're pointing a finger of accusation against God. So God said, now I'm giving you space to testify. And after they finish, he said, okay, now that you finish, now you know what you ought to be doing. Can we say hallelujah? Hallelujah. So Micah, he said, he has shown that this word for showing me that God has revealed the truth to you through his word. God has not left you in the dark. It's not inconspicuous, but God has made it known. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. God has shown every last one of us what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. God has shown us what is pleasing and what is unpleasing. Can we say hallelujah? And what the Lord does require thee but to do justly. In other words, God said, I need you to do righteous judgment. I need you to act judiciously. I need you to act right. Amen. You ever seen people today that judge and they judge wrong? God said, now I need you to judge right. He said, now I have shown you, I have told you. You don't have to guess. It's in my word I have made it known unto you how you ought to do justice. How you ought to live in right judgment. So he said, you have to do justly and to love mercy. And really it should be loving kindness, which is one of the attributes of God. So he said, now you know that you ought to do what's right. You know that you ought to have mercy, you ought to have loving kindness, and he said, and to walk humbly with dethrone self and let God be the chief. You have to move yourself out of the way. He said he has chosen what the Lord does require of thee. Then not interested in walk humbly with beside God, or walk humbly before God, or humbly what? With God.
Amen.
Amen. So God has shown us to be a worshiper, we have to walk with God. You cannot worship God walking contrary to him. You cannot worship God walking in no disobedience. And we're going to close in Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. Now, once again, we're talking about what God requires. How many want to be a worshiper based on what God requires? How many want to be a worshiper based on what God requires? Then you cannot walk in disobedience. To worship God means, Lord, not my will. The greatest example of worship ever in the whole Bible was Jesus. When he was about to go to the cross, he said, not my will. But that is true worship. True worship is humbly submitting to God. Humbly submitting to God. How? In lowliness of mind. The Bible says we are not to be proud in spirit when it comes to God. Because a haughty spirit comes before a fall. So once again, Jeremiah, now we're dealing with people that present one way, but they live another way. We're talking about presenting one way but living another way. So Michael was dealing with them because they presented holiness, but they weren't living holiness. They presented sanctification, but they were not living sanctification. So in other words, they were living a lie. You cannot be a true worshiper unless you live the truth. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So Jeremiah, you read now, Jeremiah is dealing with the people of God. This is Judah now. Because Judah was living in falsehood. Judah was living a lie. Judah was saying one thing, but Judah was doing something else. Judah was saying, God, we're with you. But their lives showed that they were not following God in truth. The question is, how can you say you trust God unless you fully follow him? How can you trust God if you don't fully follow him? So people today say, well, you know, the Bible is up to your own. You can interpret your own way. That's not what the scripture says. The Bible says the word of God is not up to any private interpretation. That eliminates all of all the church community because everybody has redefined what the Bible says. But the Bible is not up to any private interpretation. God has spoken his word and we have to live in his word. We said, well, I heard so-and-so say this. What did God say? And the Bible says this, if you really love God and you want God to direct you properly, you say, in the day that you seek after him, where?
Oh,
with what?
Oh,
Jesus is looking for true worshipers.
Yes.
They have to serve him with their whole heart, their whole spirit, and in truth.
Amen.
Well, what Jeremiah is dealing with now, God's people were not serving him in truth. Yes, they were coming to church, but they weren't worshiping in truth. Yes, they were singing his praises, but they weren't doing it in truth. So Jeremiah is reasoning and trying to get them to say, listen, if you're living a lie, it's a lie. If you're misrepresenting what you're living, that's a lie. And who's the father of all lies?
Satan.
Satan, right? If the Bible is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. So this brings us up to Jeremiah. He's trying to get them to amend their ways. He said, amend your ways and your works. Amen. In other words, what you've been doing, God said, that's not acceptable. I don't care how you're projecting holiness. I don't care how you're projecting sanctification. I don't care how you're projecting, I trust and believe God. God said, but I know your heart. And in your heart, you're misrepresenting what you really believe. He said you cannot worship me. So what Jeremiah does is Jeremiah in essence takes us back to Micah. So let's go to verse 23. Then comment, thus says the Lord. So he said, thus says the Lord. Who's speaking?
The Lord.
Who's speaking?
The Lord.
Thus says the Lord. Let not
the wise.
Let not the wise man.
Glory in his wisdom.
He said, listen, yeah, there's a whole lot of wise men, but you glory in your wisdom. And you know it's so important that you study words. Because I said, well, what is glory? We see it, we know the Bible says, no flesh shall glory in his presence. Right? It says, let not the wise man glory. Glory is the Hebrew word Hillel, H-A-L-A-L. And from Hillel is the root word for hallelujah. Hillel is the root word for hallelujah. What is hallelujah? That's giving God all your praise.
Yes.
That's giving God your best praise.
Yes.
So he said, you cannot hallelujah in your wisdom. You cannot hallelujah in your strength. You cannot hallelujah in your wealth. All right? You cannot hallel. You cannot praise. You can't thank God because of all of that. Your wealth, your might. You know, everything depends on wealth, your might, and your strength. He said, it's not about you. So you cannot hallel or glory in this. You can't lift and raise your hand and hallelujah in falsehood. But verse 24 says, but let him that glory. Let him that hallel. Let him that, he's going to tell us what we have to do a hallelujah. He's going to tell us what we have to do to worship. Don't you want to know what worship is all about? He said, thus saith the Lord. So who's telling us how to worship?
The Lord.
The Lord. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
So he said, thus saith the Lord. Let him that glory, glory in this, that he, and what? The Lord said, you cannot worship unless you understand and. So we can see all these people worshiping God and giving, that's not that, that's not worship. Because in order to worship, you have to understand and know him. Know me, that I am the Lord which exercises. Did Micah just tell us mercy, which is loving kindness? He said, now, this is what I recognize if you want to worship. If you don't worship in loving kindness, God said that's not worship. Amen. Yeah, and let me use an example of this. You ever see someone who goes through a very difficult time and church people say, well, you got just what you deserve? That ain't loving kindness. And that is not mercy. Part of mercy is having empathy as well as sympathy. Right? Part of loving kindness is having empathy as well as sympathy. So empathy is, there go I, but the grace of God. I see what you're going through, so I'm not going to relish you. I'm not going to praise in your failure, because I have to have loving kindness. Ah, you may have mistreated me, but I'm a worshiper. So my worship is not dependent on how you treated me, but my worship is dependent on how I treat one another. And that's why the Bible says we ought to what? Love one another. What that is loving kindness. So he said, in order for you to glory, you have to exercise. Well, what does it mean to exercise? You can't talk about it. Right? If you want to have loving kindness, you can't talk about it. No, today the famous saying, every time somebody hangs up, they say, oh, I love you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, you know, you ever notice that in the world, everybody hangs up now, oh, I love you. Well, when I was really need, where were you at? When my back was against the wall and you loved me, where were you at? What was your loving kindness? Even if you didn't have a dime to give me, you could have called and said, I'm praying with you. I'm going to encourage you because I have loving kindness and judgment. Isn't that what Bible said? We have to have justice, which is moral judgment, which is judgment according to the standards of God. He said, now if you want to worship, if you want to glory, you have to have loving kindness, and you have to have judgment and righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? Righteousness is submitting yourself to what's right before God. That's walking humbly with God. He says, for me, and you have partial judgment. God says, I don't delight in it. He said, if you come to me and you and I are walking in lowliness of mind and in a lowly manner, he said, I don't delight in that. He said, in these three things do I delight. So now the world is teaching us that your worship is about your showmanship. Your worship is about how pretty you sing. Your worship is about how well you dance. Your worship is dependent on how good God has been to you. How do you want to give back to God for what God has given to you?
Amen.
Do you want to continue to shortchange God? No, he said, well, I don't praise God like that. You better praise God some kind of way.
All right.
Amen. Listen, church, one thing God said, give God your best praise. like you do, then I ain't praying. You praise God, joy. If I can't sing from a melodious voice like you sing, I can't praise God. Give God your best. Hallelujah. You know what happens when you give God your best? It can be all messed up. But God will place anointing on it. But in their hearts. Worship, listen, worship is dependent on your heart. I don't care how much hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, the praise the Lord you say. If your heart is not on God, you're not walking with Him. That's not worship. You cannot be obedient to God walking contrary to His word. Amen. The Bible says, this is what He said. He says, offerings and sacrifices are delight not in. Why are delighting and I like delighting you walking in obedience? My word. God wants obedience. Well, when I read my Bible, stop reading your Bible your way. Let God speak. Listen, this is how good. Anybody love God? Come on, you all love God. God loves you more than you love Him. How do we know? Because He gave His only Son. He died for us. It's hard. How many of you have died for somebody else? Maybe your child. Maybe your wife, maybe someone you love, but it's hard for us to die for somebody else. God loved us so much that He gave His best for us. That's what worship is. Now the question is this, what are we giving God? This is personal, man. This is, I can't give it for my wife can't give it for me. This is personal. What are you giving back to God? Think about it. If you're not giving God your best, now we know everybody can justify and make excuses for why they're not doing it. But how many know God knows you better than you know yourself?
Amen.
How many know God knows us and sees us when nobody else sees us?
Amen.
So just because you wave your hand and stomp your feet, that is not worship. Amen. Well, how can you worship even when the four walls are falling down? Even when everything is taken away, I still got a praise for God. Even if I have to praise Him all by myself, I still got a praise. Why? I'm not praising God for where I am, but I'm praising God for where I'm headed. I'm not praising God because I lost everything, but I'm praising God because of what I'm going to get. Somebody said, well, you know, I got to get in this life. If I get in on the other side, I'm still happy with God. Amen. Because He went from time to eternity, even though God blessed him to come back to tell the story. We don't know when our time is up. We don't know when it could be. It could have been Sister Maria and her family when they were in an accident. It could have been me when I was in my accident, when I almost had that head on collision. I would have never had a second chance to say, Lord, let me fix what I messed up. So it's important when you leave church today, you need to leave right. Amen. Not everybody say, well, I'm planning on getting right. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But when you're right, you know who holds tomorrow. And who's that? God. You cannot worship God unless you're obedient.